Episode 141, BulaNetwork.com, with no production. That's right, no music, no nothing. Hey kids, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I will explain the technical difficulties. I have a two-computer studio. One of the computers, for those of you that aren't interested in this, fast forward. But this is why there's no production. I could have reconnoitered things, but is that a word? I use it a lot. There, it must be. I reconnoitered things because, I had a technical problem. One of my interfaces, those of you that are into podcasting will understand this. I use FireWire interfaces. Don't ask me why. I have for a long, long time. I use units by a company named Presonus. Well, one of the units developed a bad static. Last night, working like a champ. This morning, I had some client calls, and I'm using my phone bridge, and we're in this GoToMeeting, and it's just crazy static on my end. They kept saying, "Well, you sound fine to us." I'm like, Let me call on a different line. So, you know, thinking that it was my phone bridge or my phone line. At last, no, it was my FireWire interface. So that means I had to take one computer offline. And the one computer that I took offline was the computer that provides that music and all the cool production elements. So I don't have it. It's not working. So that's the reason for no music. It's not going to stop me. All right. In episode 140, I told you about some of the changes and a few things going on. Let me just bear with me. Let me spend just a little bit of time and catch you up to speed with what's going on. Leaning toward wisdom. Let it never be said that I sit around and ponder and I don't act quickly enough. So I relaunch leaningtowardwisdom.com. I get episode, I put up a really brief episode because, well, the site got hacked. Long and short of it is months and months and months ago. And so I didn't take the site down. What I did is I put up in front of the site, it's a WordPress site, I put up an HTML index page so that, you know, when you went to Leaning Toward Wisdom, all you saw was basically a landing page. You didn't see the WordPress site. I don't know that this was responsible for it, but I have my suspicions. So I go in, got some corrupted databases and just a litany of issues. So I'm behind the scenes for months, just kind of not working feverishly, but just when I can, cleaning things up, taking care of things, and making a decision along the way that I'm going to relaunch this thing and go in a completely different direction for about the third time, by the way. And I don't think there's any harm in that, folks. So listen to episode 140, you know, the pivot, the iteration, the morphing, adapting, all of that cool stuff. That's just the stuff of life. Now, people can say, well, you know, that's being fickle. I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just, you know, it's just all of us being in a position where we reserve the right to change our mind. Okay, well, I changed my mind. So I relaunched, long and short of it is, I relaunched leaningtowardwisdom.com. Only to find out after I do the launch, I decide, you know, I'm going to click on this iTunes subscription button. Don't ask me why it didn't cross my mind before, but it didn't. So I click the button and I get a message once it launches, I approve it to launch iTunes, that this cannot be found in the US store. I'm thinking, well, that's odd. I mean, there were quite a few episodes in the previous iteration of Leaning Toward Wisdom, It was in the iTunes store. It was a, you know, it was a valid podcast. It had been accepted by iTunes back in the day. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe it's because the feed, you know, the feed obviously went down because, well, I've got an indexed HTML page up instead of WordPress. So basically the feed isn't showing. And I'm thinking, maybe that's it. Well, I've got another site that I won't name that has 80 podcast episodes in a niche that I just abandoned because, well, I got tired of it. Hey, I'll tell you, Remarkable Retail, remarkableretail.com. So I did a podcast called Remarkable Retail, and it's still there. Well, the website, Remarkable Retail, has only been an HTML landing page for a year plus, and it's still in the iTunes store. So now I'm really confused and I'm thinking, well, I don't know what's going on. So it dawns on me, I think I'll resubmit leaningtowardwisdom.com. I'll resubmit that to the iTunes store. And of course, when I do, when I submit the feed, I get this notice. This feed has already been submitted. Okay. Now I'm just confused. So I send a support email to the Apple folks, and they very quickly respond and try to help me, and nothing works. Nothing works. I change the name of the feed. I change the link. I do everything they say to do. Nothing works. I decide, you know, I'm just going to delete the feed, and I'll create a new feed with a new title, a completely different link. No, that doesn't work either. In fact, I tried that four times. So at this point, the ball is back in Apple's court. So for those of you that have been checking out Leaning Toward Wisdom, I'm just going to kind of sit tight until I hear from Apple about that. And we'll see what happens. Let's see what else. Let's talk about, since the subject these days, on my mind at least, seems to be iteration and pivoting and all that. Let me just tell you, I'm a slow learner, okay? I admit it. I'm a really slow learner. Well, I'm not normally, but I have been in recent years. Because I've gotten some feedback and people are, you know, what's up with you? It's an understandable question. It's absolutely an understandable question. And I know that I'm being just terribly confusing to people, and many of you may be worried about my mental state. I assure you that I am, well, I'm as sane as I ever was. That's not saying a whole lot. At the risk of making this about me, and it's not, it's about us. I would say it's about you, but it's not. It's about us. It's about me too, but it is about you. And I rather think that we're probably in the same boat, no matter where we're at on the timeline of life, and no matter where we are when it comes to our own success, measured any way that you want to measure it, which is usually in America by dollars. Let me just give you a thumbnail sketch that might help. And if this is the first episode you've ever listened to, I'm terribly, terribly sorry. You deserve better, but you're not going to get it. Not in this episode. Financial success. I understand the quest for that. I honestly do. And I can tell you that I know what that is, and I know what that's like, and I know how to achieve that. But we have to put some things in context. Because just for us to say, well, someone is successful or someone has been successful does not necessarily mean that they can succeed at anything or everything. I was watching, because the Olympics are going on right now, and of course, I had already seen this, and I don't know if it was on ESPN or it was on some network that did this documentary on the Dream Team. Was it 1992? Barcelona, Spain, 1992 Olympics, the U.S. Dream Team. It was the first time that the U.S. was allowing professional athletes to compete. And of course, you know, they were, I mean, it was just an insanely ridiculously talented team made up of 11 future Hall of Famers and a college kid. I don't remember who the college kid was. No matter. And I was watching that, and I kept thinking about Michael Jordan, and I kept watching that footage of him. And, of course, those of us that were alive and fans of the NBA when he was around, it's just it's still remarkable. Yes, LeBron is crazy good, but I don't know. Michael Jordan was just different. It was just different. And then seeing Bird and Magic Johnson, and yes, I was obviously alive and a fan when they were playing, and just a whole different feel to the NBA. I am not a fan of the NBA today. Just mark that down, and there's my vote. But I'm sitting there and I'm watching this footage of Michael Jordan during the Olympics and just how terrific he was. And then, you know, we have to remind ourselves, okay, he tried his hand at baseball. And, you know, really wasn't even very good at the minor league level. To me, that's perfect illustration of someone who can be wildly successful in one area, but it doesn't mean that everything they touch turns to gold. It doesn't mean that they've got a lock on everything. And I don't know if it's just the age in which we live. Certainly the internet compounds this, I think. The notion that success in any area necessarily means success in any other area. The truth is, I believe that there are people who are very good, very talented at certain things, but put them in a different context, put them in a different arena, and they find it's a whole different ballgame. Okay, I freely admit that's me. That's me. And I've gone on record. I know that many people today, it's very popular to say, well, I'm an entrepreneur because I just realized that I'm unemployable. I was not. I was terribly employable. I was terrifically employable for a variety of reasons. And I made my career, my success was found in being what I have kind of snarkily called being a hired gun. I was my entire career a hired gun. And I went from one position to another position most of the time because someone hired me away from someone else. Now, that's my career. I don't make any apologies for that. I'm not ashamed of that. I had a nice career. I ended that career in the spring of 2009, after 30 some odd years in an industry where I had achieved what I think was pretty good success, financial and otherwise, I walked away. And I walked away not fully knowing what I would do, but being in a financial position where I didn't have a gun to my head. No, I'm not flying around in a G5 or anything, but comfortable. And, I'm not close to being homeless or anything, but I've got to work for a living. So, you know, I would not describe myself as being independently wealthy, meaning that, okay, I've made enough money that I could now set my money over in really low interest bearing money market accounts or CDs, and I'm good. No, I'm not that good. And you know, what is that number anyway? I mean, how much do you have to just completely walk away and not do anything? And even if I did, I'm not the person who would do that. I want to be busy. There are things that I still want to do. I'm 55 years old, so it's not like I'm completely down the drain yet. I'm circling the drain, but I'm not completely down the drain yet. So, In 2009, spring of 2009, somewhere give or take around there, I'd been doing some stuff. I had the studio. I'd been doing some stuff that wasn't out for public consumption. And at some point along the line in 2010, I think I start podcasting just for grins and giggles and really just to lay down some tracks for people that matter to me. Got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of an audience, which was really a fluke because no target audience, no targeted message, just riffing. I mean, absolute riffing. I had spent a number of years studying internet marketing and looking at it and thinking about it and researching and just trying to figure out this internet stuff. Okay, now fast forward and here we are present. I still don't have much of a clue. I just admit I don't. There's still a whole lot that I understand a lot. I'm just so old. There's so much I just don't care about. And there's so many other things that I'm just so tired of. Now, here's what I do love. And here's the point. This is why you click play today. I still love business and I still love the strategy of business. Let me tell you what I'm pretty sick of. I'm pretty sick of all the marketing hype. I'm pretty sick of all the, here's how you manipulate people. And hey, here's all the tactics and the techniques for manipulation and for persuasion and influence. And I understand them. I probably read the books before many of you were even born. When you've devoted so many years to a craft and I was very fortunate in that early on, I met some older folks who taught me the power of word of mouth. I was recounting this to a friend the other day, and I said, I had some people in my life when I was a young guy who really instilled in me the power of word of mouth. And this is back in a day when push marketing, as it's commonly called today, which was what all marketing was back in the day, push your message, radio ads, TV ads, newspaper ads, magazine ads, billboards, push, pitch. And I was fortunate enough to encounter some men who taught me along the way the power of a referral and the power of word of mouth. That has benefited me my entire career. I have never worked from a position of push marketing, even in traditional marketing. Not really. I mean, the push marketing that I did in terms of full page ads or billboards or TV or radio spots was never hypey, and I was never fond of kind of that price point and drag them in the door by, bait and switch or loss leader. I was more fond of storytelling. I was more fond of trying to give people compelling stories and trying to show the difference and then trying to operate an organization that would absolutely positively show the customer that we cared. And we did. And customer bases were built because that was my philosophy. Because I learned as a young man that if you don't have a customer base, you don't have anything. And if you let your customer base erode, you're losing everything. Now, I know that there are people that say, it's all about marketing. It's marketing, marketing, marketing. And I know that Dan Kennedy and others have gone on record in decades past and said, at the end of the day, your business is nothing without marketing. And while I can agree with some part of that sentiment, I heartily disagree with a big part of it. Because I would agree if we're going to say that word of mouth is marketing. But in so many cases, some of these fellows don't, that's not what they mean. That's not what they believe. They believe that the direct marketing message, they believe that the list, they believe that, all of the marketing messages that you put out there, that's the strength of your company. I've never believed that. I've never held that philosophy. Now here I am in this internet age, and I'm I'm not second guessing that, because I rather think things have come full circle. I rather believe that the things that I learned as a young man back in the early 70s, when it comes to word of mouth, that now word of mouth is even more important, because now, today, people, for good or bad, can tell so many other people, complete strangers, hundreds and thousands of them, with a single tweet, with a single post on Facebook. We have so many more people that are out there screaming and hollering and some whispering. But the audience that any single one of us have, even of people that don't know us that well, but might be connected with us through Twitter or through some other social media, the fact that you could send a tweet out, I'm a nobody, okay? I'm a nobody, and I don't know what my Twitter followers are. I've got over 1,000. Now, that's chump change. That's nothing. But I just don't view it that way, and I can't get so hung up in all of the numbers stuff, because what I know is, okay, some of those might be bots. I mean, it's not like I've gone through and culled all, 1,000 or 1,100, however many there are. I tell you what I do, and maybe you do this too. I will go through and scour, because, you get these sex X-rated folks that, these spammers, these Twitter spammers that will follow you. And of course, then there'll always be a picture of some young lady, and you go look, and you look at the link to their profile, and it's some X-rated thing. And I'll block those. So I'll block those every time. And I do regularly go through my followers to just see, and that's just a personal choice that I make, but it's not like I go through and scour, okay, who's a bot, who's not a bot. The fact is, I can send out a tweet, and there are that many human beings, greater portion of, let's say, that will see that tweet. That doesn't mean they pay much attention to it, but years ago, if I had a bad experience or if I had a good experience, I didn't have that platform. I didn't have the internet. I couldn't go out and broadcast it that broadly. Yeah, I could tell my neighbor, I could tell my friends, and that word might spread. But A, it didn't spread nearly as broadly, because there weren't as many people involved. B, it certainly didn't spread as quickly, because nothing was happening in real time. And today, everything is happening in real time. I think it's a great thing, don't get me wrong, but I just think it's word of mouth. It's just word of mouth. It's what we always called word of mouth. You may not call it that, you may not think about it in those terms, but all of this stuff about social proof that many of us first read about back in whenever, when Robert Cialdini wrote his book Influence. Here, hang on, I'll tell you. I've got the book right here. Yeah, by the way, mine's the old original. The old original book. It has been republished. Back in 1980, I'm guessing in mid-80s. Let's see, 1984. In 1984, when I bought this book, was the first time that I really had read, seems like I might have heard the phrase, but I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it meant. Social proof. Well, the minute we read about it, we're like, well, yeah, of course. Because for many of us, we traveled up and down the highways before there were, interstate highways. There were just, these, back in the Route 66 kind of days. And your dad, as you're traveling, your dad's looking for a truck stop. Your dad's looking for some place to pull over to grab a bite to eat, and he's looking for where all the cars are parked. So even though we didn't necessarily name it, we knew what it meant. It meant follow the crowd. Follow the crowd. Because the assumption was the crowd's not wrong. Well, okay, we've since learned the crowd can be wrong, but we tend to herd together. We tend to think that if somebody else likes it, then okay, the odds are we might like it too. And maybe the odds are even more favorable that we'll like it too. So sure, we'll go along. Well, I came from the retail, and I can tell you my first couple of years in retail, I learned very quickly, especially during the holiday season, the power of social proof. Now, we didn't call it that, but it was manifested like this. You have a sale and there's a store teeming with people. And the minute people start to buy, more people start to buy. Well, you know why? Well, hey, Martha, look, everybody seems to be buying. The prices must be great. Now, the prices might have been great and they might not have been great. The fact is, if you had people gathered around your cash counter making a purchase, other people were going to follow suit. This is a terrible illustration, but I'm going to do it. I mean, there's a bunch of charlatans in religion, and I'm a religious person. I'm a Christian, but there are a bunch of charlatans, especially, you know, these TV evangelists. And, you know, you'll see them. They make what they call the altar call. Well, okay, you get a horde of people coming down and the emotion takes over the building. Next thing you know, you got hundreds of people just teeming down the aisles. Why? Well, because somebody started it and somebody else followed and then somebody else followed. And before long, you know, the whole mass psychology kicks in. So there's something to that. Well, we do the same thing today when it comes to social media and just all of this word of mouth stuff. What we say today carries weight. What you say carries weight. Now, it may not carry weight in a conscious sense. I'm not saying that you sit there and, oh, well, so-and-so tweeted this. Well, that must be true. You might and you might not. But the cumulative effect of all these things impacts us. And if you don't think so, well, you're crazy. We're impacted every day by all of these messages. Somebody sends out a tweet and they complain about some product that's in our head. And maybe somebody else picks it up and retweets it. And that's in our head twice now. And maybe the next time that we're tempted to do business with that company or somebody else, we think somebody else, because, you know, wait a minute. Isn't this the company? Somebody tweeted about that and they had a really bad experience with it. Now, it might not have even been a valid experience. Such is the power of word of mouth. So here we are in this new internet world, and here I am, not a technologically challenged middle-aged guy. Not at all. In fact, I am the tech support person for my entire family, including my kids. Yes, I am. They have a computer problem, I get the call. If they have difficulties with, you know, I mean, you name it, anything. I'm going to be among the first two or three people called. I'm trying to get away from that job, but so I'm not a fuddy-duddy who doesn't get technology. I get technology, and I'm not a guy who's anti-internet. I love the internet. I think the internet's great, so I fully embrace it. I'm just a guy who's been trying to figure a few things out, and I rather suspect there's a lot of us. Now, I'm going to freely tell you I spent way too much money and too much time trying to learn at the hands of quote-unquote internet marketers. And I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that there probably wasn't some damage done. There was. And I'm talking psychological damage. Thankfully, there wasn't any financial damage, but probably some psychological damage. Probably some psychological damage in the sense that I got turned off a little bit. Because here I am, I'm winding down one career. Because after you've done something for 35 plus years, I'm sorry, you just wind it down. It's hard. It's just hard to keep on keeping on because been there, done it. I told somebody right before I walked away, I said, do you know that I haven't run across anything new in 10 years? I haven't encountered a new problem in 10 years. And that, I didn't mean that as arrogant as it sounds, but it was just a fact. There wasn't a problem that could come up that I had not encountered hundreds, if not thousands of times before. Now, there's something great about that. There's something great about being confident and having such experience, vast experience, that you can feel that way and be right. But there's also a tremendous amount of boredom that kicks in. So now let's kind of package Randy up in his prior life, and we're now at the spring of 2009, and okay, all bets are off, and now it's okay, it's time to reinvent yourself. Well, I got news for you. Easier said than done. And I do admit that part of this is age, because when you've lived 35 plus years of your life, kind of being defined as something and being something and being in a certain industry, and all of a sudden you're not that, and you know that that's not who you are, but you're confused. You know, we get our identities all wrapped up in what we do instead of being who we are. Well, there's a decompression that you have to go. I did. Maybe you don't, but I had to go through a decompression, and I did successfully. Well, it's to be determined, I guess. I think I did. So trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I want to do? Okay, here's what I know, and see if this doesn't sound very familiar to you. I know that the internet is not only the future, but it's the present. So I know I want to do something in the internet. Number two, I know that now that I've spent a lifetime of working for other people, I no longer want to work for other people. I just don't. Number three, I live in a big city, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. I don't want to get up in the morning, and I don't want to commute. I don't want to have to go in and drive somewhere. So whatever I do, I want to be able to do it right here from the Yellow Studio. Beyond that, I can't tell you. I had a whole lot of ideas or specifics in mind. I didn't have a dollar number in mind. I didn't have a business model in mind. So a variety of things came my way, and I had done some coaching, consulting. I call it more consulting. I had done some of that in the past. So it seemed natural. Okay, well, let's give this a go and see. Well, I just was miserable. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. I'd spent my lifetime working on other men's businesses, and I didn't want to work on anybody else's business. It was just sheer drudgery, especially dealing with some people that just had such a ridiculously low get it factor. And I just found that I did not have the patience for it. Absolutely did not have the patience for it. So by the time I get to the end of the first year, so by the time I get to the spring of 2010, I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. This is not what I want to do. Now, I'd been helping a friend who has a software company. And one thing led to another. And the next thing you know, I'm kind of doing some marketing and some sales stuff for him. And this is feeling pretty good. It's got a super high wow factor. It's technology based. It's just kind of right up my alley. And so that feels pretty good. And, you know, it's a mature company with a relatively new solution that's crazy good and crazy powerful. And, you know, and a lot of it feels a little bit like a startup, because of the newness of the technology. And so all that's kind of cool. And it's something that I could kind of do on my own terms and all that. And so that's all kind of cool. But yeah, something else, you know, I want to do something else. I want to do something else. Now, in the meanwhile, I'm doing all this podcasting and I'm liking it. I'm not saying I'm very good at it, but I'm liking it. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not gaining any traction in this whole podcasting thing. I never did start out to gain an audience because I was doing it for a legacy. You can go back and listen to 140 and I'll explain that. But I decide, you know, I really need to get targeted here. I really need to niche this thing down. I really need to get some focus. And so the idea was, okay, I'm going to do some stuff over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, but I'm also going to do two other projects. I'm going to do barcoderadio.net, because that's in keeping with this software thing that I'm doing. And it can be a content driven thing. And there's a ton of people that don't get it and need help. And I can feel really good about that. And that's important. You know, I can answer some questions. I can provide some really good information to people that are coming in the space looking for answers, need those answers and looking for solutions and just need help. And content marketing is the perfect thing for that. And I'm thinking about, okay, what am I interested in? What do I like? And what am I really intrigued by? And what would I like to learn more about? And just bring other people along for the ride with me who might be interested in that same thing. Log Homes. Loghomeradio.com. I love Log Homes. So that was kind of the notion. And so then I decide I'm going to take Bula Network LLC. I'm going to take this company that, you know, technically I kind of started in 97 as kind of a little bit of a side project. And it I did things off and on. So it was not my gig, right? I had full-time gigs until 2009. But I decide I'm going to take Bula Network in a different direction now. I'm going to take Bula Network and basically morph it into a new media content creation kind of a company. And I'm going to just kind of hone my chops, and I'm really going to try to get skilled at content marketing. And so that's kind of the objective here. So I'm going to take you along for the ride, and I'm going to share with you here at BulaNetwork.com. I'm going to stay here. The feed will stay the same. The site will stay the same. We're just going to change things in the sense that I'm going to call it what the newsletter is called, and that's Inside the Yellow Studio. So the podcast now is going to be Inside the Yellow Studio. And it's going to be basically me just kind of pulling the curtains back and talking about some things that relate to business, my business, and the things that I'm learning, the things that I think can help you as you're trying to figure some things out, because who among us isn't? I realize that there are gurus. I realize there are book authors and they've got all the answers. I don't. I've got a lot to learn, and I'm going to stay busy trying to learn it. And I'm going to be just completely unabashed and unashamed to share with you and admit to you, I don't know this, and so I'm trying to learn it. And I'm going to end on this point. I made an investment, I don't know, a month or two ago, because I wanted to learn this thing. And I had bought a few little ebooks and stuff, and I knew it enough to be dangerous, but Neil Patel runs a number of things, but Neil Patel is kind of this SEO guru, right? I mean, I mean that affectionately. So here's a young man who's 27, 28 years old, right? But super bright. And he produced a product called Quick Sprout Traffic something or other. I bought it, a couple of $100. So not low end, but not crazy high end. Well, I invested in it. And there's a series of videos, and there's some other stuff that he gave along, but it consists primarily of a pretty lengthy PDF ebook. And I invested in it because I have really shunned SEO and it just never did really interest me. Now, I happen to think that SEO is not the end all be all. It may have been at one time, but there's so many people that are gaming the system and whatnot. I don't know. I've got serious questions. I got serious questions about the power of SEO going on, morphing on into the future, being what it was some years ago. I could be wrong. It just seems to me that Google continues to change and morph and adapt, and I'm sure other search engines do as well. because people continue to try to game the system. And it's no different than anything else. Listen, business people, marketers in particular, are notorious at just completely ruining things. And this is one illustration of that. I think marketers are ruining or going to ruin social media because all you hear is, you know, how can we use it for marketing? There are nearly a billion people on Facebook. And anytime you've got numbers like that, business people are going to be jumping all over it like chickens on June bugs, trying to figure out a way to monetize it. I mean, here's a big population of people. We've got to sell them something. And it's going to bring out, it already has. It brings out every huckster. It brings out every charlatan. It brings out every con man, every thief, every crook who tries to sell something. And legitimate people. But it's marketing, 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 sell, sell, sell. And I, for one, am just pretty fed up with all that. I just really am. Now, I say fed up with it. It's not like I ever was one of those. That's why I began with this whole tirade about word of mouth. I think it's important to provide great value first. I think it's important for people to know that you're not a transaction-oriented business person. And if you are, great. That's wonderful. But I am not your cup of tea, and you're absolutely not mine, because I am so not transaction-oriented. I'm in it for the long haul. I've been in it for the long haul all of my career. I can't change that now. Okay, maybe I could, but I don't want to. You know, when you get to be 55, there's a lot of things you don't want to do. Well, that's one of them, okay? I don't want to reinvent myself when it comes to that kind of personal philosophy. I want to provide business. I want to get up in the morning with a purpose. I want to get up and know that, okay, let's take the barcode thing. There are people that are so totally confused about barcodes and how barcodes can completely revolutionize their business, how they can better track stuff in their companies. I encounter people every week, and an owner, a manager, we don't get it. You know, we've got 18 people and they're working Excel spreadsheets and whatnot. That's working fine. And you start talking to a manufacturer that talks about all of the stuff that they have to throw away because somebody messed it up, and there's just bad information. And so there's all these conversations that I have every week of, you know, that life doesn't have to be that way. You know that there's technology that can. So I feel good about that. I feel good in that I'm able to help a business not only be more efficient and effective, but potentially stay alive. And I think that's important. We all think that's important. There are people in those companies and they need their jobs, and we want this company to thrive, and we want to bring high value. I want to bring high value. Okay, take Log Home Radio. Well, what's the high value there? I want to know. There's some stuff I don't have a clue about, and I'm interested enough. I want to learn, and I'm willing to find the answers, talk to people, and share that information. Who else is interested in log homes? Okay, maybe not very many. And I didn't pick it because, well, it's this big stinking niche, and I know there's a lot of people who love it. And I know there's, you know, I can go to any newsstand. I can go to any grocery store, and I can see half a dozen magazines on log homes. I know all that's true, but that isn't why I picked it. I picked it because I like it. I care about it. I think I can do a respectable job in ferreting out people who know that business, people who are in that business, and they can educate me, and I can share that information with you. How will I make money? I don't know. I'm not worried about that right now. It's just something I want to do because I want to find out more about it. And I think it's targeted enough that I think I can build an audience. I'll figure the money out later. It's not a money grab. It's something I'm interested in. And if you're not interested in it, why do it? I'm just you know, I'm so way past just doing it for a buck. I don't throw rocks at people who do things for a buck. I'm a very practical guy. We have to do things for money. We've got to do things for a living. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being mercenary in that sense. But it doesn't mean that everything we do has to have a money component. It doesn't mean that every tweet, every Facebook post, everything that I do in social media, there's got to be an angle I'm working. There's got to be a strategy that I'm implementing. I know that there are people who live that way. You're not listening to the voice of one. It's not how I choose to live my life. So there you have it. At this point, you would hear music playing if I had my other computer going, but I don't. Yeah, and by the way, I'm probably going to have to send that unit off to, you know, I'm sure the motherboard went out in this thing. It's a common problem. Don't get me started. You know, and this is something else that I've got great interest in, podcasting. I love podcasting. There are many guys out there who have podcasts about podcasting. I venture to guess I listen to them all. So I'm not going to start naming them because invariably I'll leave somebody out. But I listen to them all, and I have listened to them all for a long, long time. I've got interest in that. I've not got enough interest to do it, you know, myself. But I've got a studio I'm rather proud of. I got a studio. I'll put my studio up against the average bear. But see, there's a perfect illustration of a niche and something that, you know, people care about. And you can build an audience around that. Here's what I have learned in the 2 years of languishing. You really just kind of have to stand for something. Otherwise, people don't know how to find you, and people can't find you. And not only that, but you can't attract anybody because nobody knows who or what you are. And that's been absolutely positively my problem for the last 2 years. And I freely acknowledge that. Don't make the mistake that I have made. Don't just launch forth. Now, you got to give me this. I'm going to stick with it. You know, I have stuck with it. I mean, come on, 140 episodes, and that's not counting probably 24 special episodes. So, I mean, come on. Who's got that kind of stick-to-itiveness? Hear, hear. But you've got to hang your shingle out in a specific thing so people know. And so I'm going to start doing that. And so spread the word. That's what I want you to do. I want you to spread the word. I don't care about you opting into an email list. I don't have anything to sell you, but I do want you to spread the word that Inside the Yellow Studio is basically going to be now inside a new media content creation, you know, content producing business that really is in the business of blogging / podcasting in specific little niches. The first two, barcode tracking and log homes. So there you have it. Spread the word. Follow me on Twitter. The handle is my name. It's really super, super easy. Randy Cantrell. And there are all kinds of links at the website. Visit the website at BulaNetwork.com. You can do me a favor and go over to iTunes if you want. Leave me a 5-star review. I would absolutely love that. And hopefully... Well, I don't know. It might be another episode without any production elements, but hopefully I'll have the other computer back in line very soon. Thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate your time and your attention. I do want to bring you value. I'm going to do a better job of that in the future than I have in the past. I apologize for all the sins of my past, and I promise you I will commit to giving you much, much more in the days to come. Thanks. See you.